Scouting out of the blue corner. He gives you your football meat and potatoes style and is the undisputed king of detailed player analysis. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Steve the Scout.
Hey guys, this is Steve the Scout. I am the voice of the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. It is Friday, October 19th. You might be Saturday when you're listening to it. Might be early Sunday morning. Whatever it is, what time you're listening to it, I appreciate you. This is a no BS football show that breaks down the nitty-gritty details of the game, but does so in an exciting fashion, meat and potato style, which means I tell you how it is, and I'm very upfront with the information that I give. With that being said, every show now, 30 minutes or less. It's the maximum time a show will be. So let's get to it. Let's break down every matchup that we got coming up in Week 7. And I'm going to tell you specifically who I think is going to win and really what the keys to victory are for every single team. So starting off first, getting into last night's game between the Denver Broncos and the Arizona Cardinals. This was just a bad game for the Cardinals from the beginning. One problem the Cardinals have had all year long is they have one of the worst offensive lines in the league. If you look, you know, Josh Rosen, the first interception that he threw, it was a tip pass because of pressure and also partially because of the release point from where Josh Rosen released that ball. Second interception was a misread with the miscommunication with the wide receiver. And look, they fired their offensive coordinator today, but it's not going to help all that much because you don't have anyone that can protect that quarterback. I told you from the beginning, and I'm saying it again, Josh Rosen can be a good quarterback, but he is not a quarterback that can succeed without a good offensive line. There are some quarterbacks that can make better use of not having a good offensive line. He's not one of them. I watched enough college tape to say that confidently. You look at the Broncos on the offensive side of the ball. They were not getting nearly as much pressure their way. So they really won the battle in the trenches on both sides of the football. Case Keenum stayed clean for the most part. He had a little bit of pressure, but for the most part, he had a clean pocket. He had the ability to run, get outside, and make throws. And look, I said last year, regardless of whatever offensive system Case Keenum was in last year, to me he looked like a quarterback that should be the starting quarterback of an NFL team. I know he hasn't always played perfect this year, but I've watched enough tape on him to say give him some more time. He's really still even this year, showing me a lot of good stuff like he did last year. And look, the Broncos have not had a quarterback that can take them anywhere since a few years before Peyton Manning retired, because the year they won the Super Bowl, he wasn't himself anymore. So they're gonna stick with him as long as they're winning. And if you look at the Broncos on the offensive side of the ball, they can block. They had Phillip Lindsay, their rookie running back, Royce Freeman, their rookie running back, doing damage again. The Broncos really did good with their draft picks this year. They're producing. If you look at Courtland Sutton, he's turning into a good wide receiver. They don't need Demaryius Thomas because he's going to continue to develop. Plus, Demaryius Thomas is a little bit out of his prime. Phillip Lindsay, Royce Freeman, those backs are doing a great job. So good job drafting by Denver this year. They had this game won from the very beginning. They forced Josh Rosen into mistakes. Their defense was getting pressure. They were able to protect their quarterback, get the run game going, and it just never was the same for the Cardinals. So the Cardinals, you know, whatever they got to do, they have to improve their offensive line. Their team cannot be a playoff team ever at any point. And I don't know if they can with any quarterback with the way their offensive line is playing right now. So getting into the next game that we have this weekend, it's the Titans taking on the Chargers. I don't know. Maybe the Rams and the 49ers, but outside of that, I don't know any other game this week where I'm so certain of who the victor is going to be. It's the NFL, I get it. But look, the Chargers match up with them in every single way possible. They're superior to the Titans. When you look at Tennessee and what they need to do to win this game, they need to keep the Chargers' offense off the field because that offense is functioning very well right now. And the Titans, they have to get the run game going. They cannot win this game if they don't get Derrick Henry or Deion Lewis or both heavily involved in this game and get a high yards per carry average. There's no way, because Marcus Mariota right now, he's still playing with a hand injury, not playing his best. He doesn't have his full strength yet to be able to throw as hard as he was before. And their offensive line's got to play better. What they want to do is they want to utilize, in my opinion, a lot of double teams and allow Derrick Henry to make some punishing runs. That is going to be, you know, the only way they can win this game and open things up. They don't need to try to spread the ball out because no one's scared of their offense. What they need to do is just straight up come at them and then come at them with the run game, be aggressive, and then try to open things up that way. Derrick Henry's been a big disappointment for fantasy owners this year. He's, you know, they got to get him more involved, and you know, hopefully this week they can do that. The Chargers, to win the game, all they need to do is just play the same style of football they've been playing, which is Melvin Ingram rushing the quarterback. You have one of the best secondaries in the NFL this year with guys like Derwin James, Casey Hayward, and if you look at them, they have an improved run defense. So the Chargers just have to be the Chargers and continue doing what they have been doing. Because last week they looked like one of the most complete teams in the NFL. We'll see if they can do it again this week. But no matter what, my money's on the San Diego Chargers. Next, we got the Carolina Panthers traveling to Philadelphia to take on the Dirty Birds, the Philadelphia Eagles. I like the Eagles in this one. I'll tell you why. Number one, I think it is easier to get Cam Newton off of his game with a pass rush than it is Carson Wentz. Cam Newton, to me, from the tape I watch, he gets more affected by the pass rush than Carson Wentz. Even though Carson Wentz may not be as good of an athlete, Carson Wentz is a hell of an athlete, though. Cam Newton, you know, a little more overall athletic, but Carson Wentz is better under pressure. I think Philadelphia is going to be able to get to him. I think they're going to win that game in the trenches. If you look at the Panthers receivers, they're going against Malcolm Jenkins, Ronald Darby. Philadelphia's got a good secondary. Carson Wentz, he started to find chemistry with those receivers again, so I just think they match up better in every area. The one area concern that I have for the Philadelphia Eagles is going to be Jay Ajayi is hurt. If you look at Wendell Smallwood, who is now their running back, the other week against the Giants, he had 18 carries for 51 yards. And I just don't know what their success will look like without Jay Ajayi. If you remember when they traded for him last year, it changed everything for them. Now that he's out for the year, we'll see exactly what Wendell Smallwood can do. So if they don't have success running the ball, it's definitely going to make things more difficult. So I'm interested to see what happens with that. But I got to go with the Philadelphia Eagles in this one. I just feel they match up better. Next, we got the Minnesota Vikings traveling to New Jersey to take on the New York Jets. And I think this game comes down to one simple thing. Between the Jets' rushing attack and the Vikings' run defense, whoever wins that battle wins the game. It's that simple. I'll tell you why. You look at the Jets going against the Colts. Colts played a lot of man coverage. They weren't able to stop the Jets' rushing attack. And just things were not... It wasn't that hard for Sam Darnold, to be honest. He's facing a totally different defense this weekend in the Viking defense. They're going to be able to get a lot more pressure on him. And if they make him one-dimensional and take away the run, look, Darnold's looked good and he's looked bad at times. I think he's going to look bad again if they don't get this run game going, because that opens up everything for him to be successful against the Vikings defense. Their defense is just too good up front to win without a running game. What the Jets have done in recent weeks is they've used their zone rushing attack, utilizing a lot of double teams. They've gotten Bilal Powell and Isaiah Crowell going. When they can do that, Sam Darnold has played at his best this year. That's been proven. You gotta do that. Otherwise, Sam's going to have a long day, and the Vikings are going to win this one. But if the Jets can open things up with their rushing attack, they do have a chance to win this one. Next, we got the Buffalo Bills traveling to Indianapolis to take on the Colts. The Buffalo Bills have Derek Anderson as their starting quarterback this week. For those who don't remember, Derek Anderson actually made a Pro Bowl a number of years ago with the Cleveland Browns as their quarterback. Completely fell off after that, and I'm sorry. It's just been way too long since he's played. When he has played, he hasn't been good, and they're just not going to win this game without a quarterback. But You never know, because Buffalo's front seven can get after you. Jerry Hughes has tremendous speed off the edge. He is very difficult to block one-on-one. Lorenzo Alexander, 36 years old, and started playing his best football into his mid-30s. Very impressive. On the middle of the defensive line, you got Harrison Phillips. They have other big guys up there as well. Still have Kyle Williams, who can wreak havoc. They have Tremaine Edmonds, who they drafted this year. First-round pick, who I thought was the most talented defensive player in the whole draft. Buffalo's front seven is good. Their secondary is good. The whole defense is good. But the problem is you just can't win without a quarterback. I don't think that they're going to win with Derek Anderson. But I do expect this one to be a low-scoring game. I think Buffalo's front seven is going to get after Andrew Luck. They might force a mistake or two, but it's not going to be enough to overcome having Derek Anderson being their starting quarterback this week. Next up, we got the Chicago Bears hosting the New England Patriots. If you remember, just a few years back, the Patriots lost the Super Bowl to the Denver Broncos, and they lost it because Von Miller and company got to Tom Brady. When the Giants won the Super Bowl against the Patriots, they won it because Michael Strahan, Jason Pierre-Paul, OCU Mignura, they got to Tom Brady. Khalil Mack's a bit dinged up for this game. He has got to get to Tom Brady, and they have to force the Patriots into turnovers to have a chance, because New England, they are way too precise. They don't make mistakes. They are the least penalized team in the NFL this year. And I think Tom Brady is going to beat them the way he beats everyone else, is by getting the ball out of his hands and going over the middle quickly. Now that he has Gronkowski, Edelman, all these guys playing at the same time, they've added Josh Gordon. There's just too much to deal with. So Khalil Mack, he's going to have a big game. If you realize, even in the games where he hasn't had a sack, he's caused a turnover in essentially every game this year, whether he forced a fumble or even last week when he hit Jameis Winston when the ball was coming out of his hand, forcing an interception. Khalil Mack is going to have to force Brady into mistakes. The Patriots offense right now is as hot as it's been all year, with the addition of Josh Gordon, and now that Josh Gordon is understanding the system, and I've heard he's picking it up very quickly. The Bears have too much to contend with. They are going to have to cause some turnovers, and Khalil Mack is going to have to come through if they want to win this one. Next up, we got the Cleveland Browns traveling to sunny Tampa Bay, Florida to take on the Bucks. This is a very even matchup in a lot of ways, because both teams have strong-arm quarterbacks that can get the ball out of their hands very quickly. Both teams have talented weapons to throw the ball to. On Tampa, on their offensive side of the ball, they have Mike Evans, one of the top big threat receivers in the game. DeSean Jackson has proven that he can still play. He's still a threat to beat you deep. And O.J. Howard has come on strong this year. When you look at Cleveland, they have the weapons too. Antonio Callaway, great rookie wide receiver. He's done an exceptional job when he's been on the field this year. Jarvis Landry, he's been Jarvis Landry. He's had some injury issues this year. But David Njoku has been a big question mark for them because he has a lot of drop balls. If you look at the Chargers game, the game last week where the Browns play the Chargers, the Browns receivers simply did not step up in that game. They were not catching the ball, and that was a big reason why they got blown out in that one. I think this game is going to come down to which of these two receiving groups steps up and makes more plays. I think right now, when you look at both receiving groups, the Bucs is playing a little bit better right now. So that tells me maybe I should favor the Bucs, but something tells me the Browns are going to figure out a way to win this one. I don't know why. My gut instinct is the Browns, but I know I'm being a little bit contradictory because at the end of the day, I think it really does come down to which one of these receiving groups plays better and helps out their quarterback. Next up, we got the Houston Texans going to Jacksonville to take on the Jaguars. Both teams have struggling quarterbacks right now because both quarterbacks have shown me that they are not playing well under pressure right now. Blake Bortles, not been good under pressure lately. I understand last game he tried to make too many things happen. They were down early. That's part of it. But he's shown some good stuff this year, but he's also shown that he's still not a good quarterback under pressure. And I know you're probably thinking, well, who is a good quarterback under pressure? Well, You don't want to turn the ball over either every single time you're facing pressure. And both of these quarterbacks have shown me that they have issues under pressure. And I think when you look at Deshaun Watson, he's going to be facing a very good Jacksonville defense, arguably the best one in the NFL. And I think on the other side of the ball, Blake Bortles, he's going to have to not turn the ball over if they are going to win this game. What's been a huge problem for both of these teams this year is they have not been physical up front. If you look at Jacksonville without Leonard Fournette, they're a different team. Their offense does not have an identity. They're really losing what helped them be the team that they were last year. And unless Jacksonville can get back to physical football, not make it rest so much on Blake Bortles because he's not that guy, and he's proven he's not that guy. I don't see them getting to the heights that they were at last year. Maybe not even the playoffs at this point. Both teams have to get physical up front. They got to get a big running game going. They haven't been able to do it this year, and these quarterbacks will have to learn to play better under pressure and make less mistakes. Whoever does a better job of that will win this one. And we're heading right back to Florida because the Miami Dolphins are hosting the Detroit Lions. Look, Ryan Tannehill is out again. I think what this game is going to depend upon, if the Dolphins want to win, is which of their two offensive lines shows up in this one. Is it going to be the offensive line they had last week or the one that got dominated 2 weeks ago by the Cincinnati Bengals? If that better offensive line shows up, they have a chance, but I still don't know if it's a very good one because I do not trust Brock Osweiler at quarterback. I don't. I understand he had big numbers the other week, but they didn't prepare for him. He's still not an accurate passer. He still made mistakes last week, and I just don't think that you can really trust him. On the other hand, yes, Matthew Stafford does turn the ball over, but he's a far superior quarterback. One of the best throwing arms in the league. And what the Lions can do is if they can really get Kerryon Johnson, their rookie running back, going in this game, because this guy has some spunk to him. He plays hard. He plays aggressive. And when the Lions have shown that they can utilize Kerryon Johnson and get him involved, they can win football games. I think the Lions are going to do that this week. And if they do, they're winning this one. Now, time for a story.
Do you hear those footsteps, Drum Breeze? Is it Halloween in Baltimore? Or perhaps the number one defense in the NFL, the number one pass rush, who got 11 sacks last week? The Baltimore Ravens, and they are hunting for you.
And back into reality I come, and here's what I think is going to happen. Again, Baltimore Ravens, host of the New Orleans Saints. You think just hearing this right out of the gate, Saints are the better team, they'll probably win. Not necessarily. I think the Ravens actually match up really well against them. Let's look at the Saints front seven or the Saints defensive line going against Baltimore's offensive line. Baltimore's offensive line has been outstanding all year. When you look at that battle in the trenches, I think they're going to win that one. When you look at the battle in the trenches on the other side of the ball, I still think it favors Baltimore. Baltimore has had, statistically speaking, the best defense in the NFL this year. They got 11 sacks last week, and one thing that's really going to help them, that's been helping them even last week, is the return of cornerback Jimmy Smith, who has become absolutely elite. On the Saints, for the offensive side of the ball, they got a lot of good things going right now. They got Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram, both healthy, and Michael Thomas, who's probably going to be matched up one-on-one with Ravens cornerback Jimmy Smith. That's going to be one of the best matchups we see all week. I'm really looking forward to seeing that one, but the Ravens do have the pieces to also slow down their run game. They have a great middle linebacker in C.J. Mosley. The rest of that defense is very good in run support as well, so I'm going to want to see who wins the battle in the trenches, but ultimately I think that Baltimore is going to win the battle in the trenches on both sides of the football. It's going to allow Joe Flacco to play better. As good as the Saints offense is, I really like how Baltimore's matched up. I think they have a good chance to win this one, but this one really could go either way. I think it's going to be a close one. Next up, we got the Los Angeles Rams going to San Francisco to take on the 49ers. NFC West game. Look, obviously the Rams are going to be favored in this one. They're the only undefeated team in the NFL right now. I think they stay undefeated this week. Here's why. When you look at San Francisco, they got the 20th ranked defense in the NFL. Given the guys they have up front, they should be generating a lot more of a pass rush than they are. That defensive unit, in my opinion, has certainly underachieved this year. And when you're playing the Rams are the best. They are the best team in terms of an offensive team that really plays team football. Everyone blocks, everyone contributes, and you don't know whether they're going to give you a heavy dose of Todd Gurley or whether they're going to beat you deep with Brandon Cooks. Either way, I don't think San Francisco is ready for it. San Francisco, if they want to have a chance in this one, they got to generate more of a push in the middle of the pocket. They got the players to do that. But again, they're going against a good offensive line that the Rams have. And I think in every which way, the Rams are matched up to win this one. I like Los Angeles remaining undefeated. Next up, we got the Bengals visiting the Chiefs. And I think the game plan is very simple for Kansas City. Neutralize Geno Atkins, which is easier said than done. If you do that, you can win this football game. He has been the catalyst behind what has made the rest of those players on the defensive line so disruptive this year. Not saying Carlos Dunlap, Michael Johnson, whatnot. They're not good pass rushers, but Geno Atkins is what makes that defensive line as good as it is. They got to get some double teams on him. If they can neutralize him at least somewhat, I don't think Cincinnati's going to stand that good of a chance in this one. But look, this game really could go either way, because do not underestimate Cincinnati's offense. Their offense has been highly functional this year. It's working on all levels. So is Kansas City's. I expect this to be a high-scoring matchup. Kansas City just has a little bit too much firepower for me, so that's why I like the Chiefs in this one, but it would not surprise me if the Bengals pull off an upset, because do not sleep on their offense. End of the week with Monday Night Football, we have my New York Giants visiting the Atlanta Falcons, and this is a game where Eli Manning really has a good opportunity to start redeeming himself. I'll tell you why. Atlanta's defense is terrible. They've been one of the worst defenses in the NFL this year. If they had a halfway decent defense, they would have won at least a few more games this year, and that is a fact. Giants defense, they haven't played great this year, but for the personnel that they have on defense, they haven't played bad. I thought a couple weeks ago they flat out gave up in one game, but overall they really have not played bad considering the personnel that they have. I expect this to be a high scoring game. Eli Manning, if he can compete with Matt Ryan in a shootout and win, man, that's going to go a long way. And I'll tell you something, people want to say it's time for Eli Manning to hang it up. And while that may be true, when another team tries to get into a shootout with him, he does rise to the occasion. Look for him to bounce back this week. But I got to say, I like the Atlanta Falcons in this one. They have a little bit too much firepower for me. Their offense, just as a system, is working better right now. They have the better quarterback in Matt Ryan. I do like the Falcons. In this one. But again, Eli Manning, don't sleep on him when it is a shootout. And that wraps up everything for today. So again, I know I mentioned on my last episode on Wednesday and on today, I'm shortening the episodes. I'm trying to keep them under 30 minutes long right now. So because I do go through a lot of games, if you feel I'm rushing through stuff or you feel maybe, I needed some more information, definitely send me feedback. I think this format works better. I noticed for me that after 30 minutes, my brain starts to tune out when I'm trying to pay attention to a lot of different things, especially something where there's not going to be the video there. So definitely let me know what you think. Send me your feedback. You can send me a voice message on Anchor or email me at stevethescout81@gmail.com. I'll be back with you on Sunday night. I'll actually be breaking down the MVP of every single game, scouting that MVP and telling you what they did well. This is Steve the Scout with the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. Talk to you on Sunday. We'll be right back.